tell us what we need to be doing to feel good about our lives, to feel content. Sometimes I think we forget and we don't pay attention to those things. And in a minute, I'm going to ask you to make a list for yourself of those things that you feel like you need to be content. So let me just share a little bit of a list with you. So for me, I definitely need connection with the people I care about. I need time by myself. I really need time by myself. Exercise, time to meditate. I don't know if anybody of you have noticed, but I do bring my own French press coffee maker, a really good cup of French press coffee in the morning, preferably Sleepy Monk, it's my favorite roaster. And time in my home and some good work. Okay, so those are some of the things that I know for me to be content, those are some of the things that I know. So the first exercise, and if anybody doesn't have pencil or pen, raise your hand, let me know. What I'd like you to do, and let me give you the same sort of warning or I guess suggestion that I did yesterday, and that is to set aside any kind of inner editing voice so that there's not, every thought is, you know, don't edit out any of those voices. And jot down, what are the things that you know you need to be content? So bullet point format, kind of, what are the things that you know you would like in your life to be content? So we're probably, you know, we're all at different chapters, different stages, different circumstances in our lives. So as everybody looks at their list, you're probably going to, people are going to feel differently about that. So as you look at that list of the things that you need to be content, any thoughts as you look at that? How are you feeling about that list?
Pretty content.
Pretty content.
I think summer ideals.
I have one woman, I do a little bit of this kind of exercise with a lot of the corporate clients that I work with. And I can remember this one woman raising her hand, and she literally was close to tears, and she said, "This looks like a wish list to me." Mm-hmm. And I think that there's times when we can have so much on our plate that we really don't get to those things. Mm-hmm. And also, when I think about mine, if I could have it perfectly, if I could only have it perfectly, all right, exercise for me, 2 hours a day. My meditation tape is an hour. I like to linger over that cup of French press coffee in the morning. If I could only have it perfectly, I'd be up at 3:30 in the morning to get all that stuff out of the way before I started my day. And so I've had to learn to give myself the grace to have it as I am able. And that might mean 45 minutes of exercise 3 times a week. If I get to meditate 10 minutes here and there, I don't seem to ever miss that cup of coffee. I don't know how that always does seem to make it in there.
It's portable.
It's portable. That's true. I travel with it. I mean, you know.
Meditation is kind of portable.
Pardon?
Sometimes.
What is it?
Meditation.
It is.
It's kind of.
But
it's interruptible.
It's very true. And so what I'd like you to do is look at that list, and if there's one on there that you would like more of than you have right now, I'd like you to put a check mark by that one. And let's just start with one. Is there one of those things on your list that you would like a little bit more of right now?
Well, I couldn't tell a latecomer how she can quickly make a list.
Yes.
What are those? Well, to be content, I need.
Exactly. To be content, I need. And then the next thing to ask yourself is, since I don't have to have it perfectly, how can I begin to add just a little bit more of that thing into my life? And if anything comes to mind, you might jot it down, you'll probably remember it, but if that's important to you, if you know that whatever that is would help you be more at peace with your life, then how can you begin to get just a little bit more of whatever that thing is? You know, and being at peace with, being content, being at peace with our lives doesn't just impact us. It impacts everybody around us. It impacts our work, those we love, you know, the things that God would have us do. So there is, I guess I would say that being content is selfish in the very best sense of the word. All right, so I don't know about you, but it seems that most people have their own style when it comes to packing for a trip. Some people pack the night before. Some people even throw things in the day of. Other people make a list. I can remember years ago, about 6 years ago, Tom was going to Senegal with a group from our church. And about 2 weeks before the trip, this suitcase appeared on our bedroom, you know, on the bedroom floor, and every night a couple things flew in there. I thought, he said, Tom, what's that? And he said, well, that's, I'm getting ready for Senegal. I'm starting to pack. I want to think this through. About 3 days before the trip, a new suitcase came out, and the things in here started to go in here. I said, well, what's this one? He said, well, that was my trial pack. This is my real pack. All right? So we all kind of have our style when it comes for packing for a trip. How many of you, did anybody hear an overpacker? How many people tend to take more than they need? Okay. Right, you got two votes. You got yours and somebody sitting next to you. Okay. How about underpack? Anybody underpack? Did anybody underpack this week? And did you end up with a new Holden sweatshirt? I've seen more new Holden sweatshirts this week. Because it was,
is there something about me you know that you're not telling me?
You know what? She and I had a little cup of coffee earlier. So what are the consequences of overpacking for an actual trip? What are the consequences when we overpack?
We can carry a lot.
Your friend has to carry part.
Your friend has to carry part. That's right. Your friend has to carry part of it, so it impacts other people.
There's more stuff to worry about.
There is more stuff to worry about. You have too many choices.
Less room for bringing home the stuff you found while you were gone.
Absolutely. There's less room. Anytime we go on a trip, what'd you say?
And that's important.
That is important. That's absolutely true. Taking home those treats and those things. Anytime we go on a trip, we learn something. In fact, I don't know who said this. Somebody might recognize it, but the quote was something like, anytime God wants to teach you something, he takes you on a trip. That was really good. All right, so we underpack for a trip. What happens? We're not prepared. We spend too much money. We're too cold. We're too hot. Whatever. Like any journey, or I guess life, like a journey, is like a trip. The trick is in learning to pack well. Having what we need, not burdened by what we don't. You know, every single day is that we have this chance to look at our suitcase. And again, the trip of life is having what we need, not burdened by what we don't. If we mispack our life suitcase, what are the consequences?
Not prepared.
Not prepared.
Difficult relationships.
Difficult relationships. Maybe toxic relationships. What else? We have too much if we overpack.
Exhaustion.
Burdensome expectations.
Okay, burdensome expectations, which wears on us, stress, wears on the people that we love. We neglect important relationships.
Misplaced focus.
I'm sorry?
Misplaced focus.
Misplaced focus, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know the exact percentage, but I recently heard that it was something like 80% of all serious diseases are related to stress in some form or another. Stress is a huge, huge factor. Couple more questions. Yes?
I was just going to say, it's interesting because in life, you set down a path, and then something impacts that, like divorce. Mm-hmm. And you can have a pretty balanced life, and then divorce hits you, and then, oh my gosh, you have to take care of two kids by yourself. You still have to work full time, and you have to cook and clean and mow the yard, and it's like, what do you give up? Mm-hmm. So that you can have that balance back, and it's really hard to get to that place where you can find that balance until they're gone.
Right.
I mean, the kids, you know? You up something that you weren't expecting.
Exactly.
I think
my guess is every single person in this room can relate to that in some way or another.
Yeah.
This may be presumptuous of me, but can I draw a picture?
Please.
Okay.
Can I sit in your seat? You take over.
That's on what picture he draws.
It'll be a simple exercise I've done with my clients and students. And I call it life balance exercise. Put a box at the end of each of these. And then go through this kind of exercise you just did and come up with a list of what's important to me, or whatever the subject is, or what. Okay? And distill those down, add lines, fewer lines, and so you have, A, B, C, D, professional growth, spiritual well-being, financial security, relationships with children, whatever it is. Okay. And then if this is 0 and this is 10 on each of these, then you say, subject A, on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being absent, not fulfilled, empty, in the tank, and 10 is, okay? Where am I on that? So you do that. So this is a graph. And this one, 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 okay? And then this is where it gets scientific. You connect the dots. This is kind of getting to Cindy's point. Then you take this on a sheet of paper and you hold it out like this and you say, what does that look like? If all of these are important to me, and I where would I be well to spend one more increment of time or energy or resource or whatever it would take to move this out here? Or you could ask, the contentment question, this is a 5, and this is a 3. Can I live with this 5 if I expend more of my energy to move this 3 up? But just give you a way to be prioritize and index.
Absolutely.
And the cool thing, what I have to do myself at people is, you do this occasionally, and you put it in a drawer, and a year from now you do it again, and you don't look in the drawer. And then you find out, are the boxes changed?
Right, yeah.
And for those that are the same, is my sense of well-being changed? So anyway, just any kind of cool thing.
Nice. That would be a great thing to do, and I'm sure you have people do this, to do that with your spouse, your partner, your whatever. To do
it gets complicated then.
Yeah, sure it does.
Comparing those. That's why I avoid doing that with my spouse.
Yeah, it gets more complicated. Back to your, I just wanted to touch on your thought about what happens when life serves you up. And I think that the truth is, we have to deal with the reality of our lives. And if this is what I have, and this is what I wish I had, we're kind of going like this. And the conflict is, here's reality, here's what I wish I had. If we drop this hand down, this is what I have. And that's part of coming to peace with where we are, is this is what I have. And so I need to find a way to be at peace with this now, take things in, I get smaller doses. And so I appreciate that. And I think, I guess one of the things I'd like us to really think about, and this gets a little bit to your point of doing this on a regular basis, is that at every step of the way, we have the opportunity to set aside and leave behind those things that no longer serve us and move forward in a more simple, authentic way. So we've got the option to repack our life suitcase at any given time. And that isn't just things and activities, it's also things like beliefs, resentments. I'll go over a list in just a minute. But it's important to remember that we have that choice at every step of the way to set aside those things that no longer serve us. And, you know, most of us, I don't know about you, but I always could use an extra day to clean out something, whether it's a closet, my garage, my contact list on my computer, something. And we tend to get around to those things. We organize our stuff. We don't often get around to our internal stuff. And let me just read you a list, and I'll read it sort of slowly. Overcommitment. Destructive habits. Toxic relationships. Obsolete beliefs. Old self-talk. Roles, responsibilities, resentment and unforgiveness, perfectionism. How about this one? Church commitments. In their very own special category. I'm not saying, again, don't be committed to our churches, don't be committed to our community, but oftentimes we take on more because we think, I don't know why we do. Maybe it's hard to speak. We feel like we're saying no to God if we say no to a responsibility. So we shouldn't kid ourselves. Excess stuff wastes our time, wears us down, and wears us out. So why do we do it? Why do we hold on to stuff, internal or external, that no longer serves us? Why do we do that? What are some of the things that come to mind? Why do we hold on to stuff?
Habit.
Habit, absolutely.
It's easier to do what you know, even if it's not ideal, than to learn a new way.
Okay.
Please others.
Ego, all right.
Mm-hmm. To please others.
To please others.
Identity.
It's our identity. That's who we're known for. Who will I be if I'm not doing that? What will people think of me if I'm not doing that? I'm afraid to let it go. What if this job, relationship, situation is as good as it gets? What if there isn't something else better out there? At least I'm comfortable with it. So the accumulation of stuff, honestly, internal and external, occurs below the radar screen. It does not happen at a conscious level oftentimes. Doing becomes a habit becomes a pattern, and before long that pattern has woven itself into our life, it's part of the fabric of our lives, and it's just ours. You know, our garages didn't get overflowing in a day. It was an extra bike here, a couple boxes of kids' prom dresses, college papers there, this chair that needs fixing, that material I'm going to use someday, that stuff that I couldn't pass up because it was only $1 a box, so I bought the whole case. And, you know, if I could just use one swear word, we open up the garage door and we go, holy shit, how did that happen? How did that get there? And it's, excuse me, the same thing with our life suitcases. We didn't become tired, overwhelmed, hurried, overburdened, stressed in a day. It happens one commitment, one yes instead of no, one buried resentment, one too many obligations, one dead-end friendship, one unhealthy habit at a time. That's what happens. So a few years ago, Tom and I had this kind of interesting opportunity. We sold our house and bought a piece of property, and we didn't have a house for a couple years. We were house sitting, so we put everything that we owned in storage. Everything, except for what we absolutely needed. Toothbrush, clothes,
coffee
and one
brush.
Picture of our family. Press. Pardon?
Coffee press,
thank you, yes, absolutely. And we began house sitting for other people. And so we lived with all of our stuff in storage. The only thing I would do is take this picture of our family and put it on the kitchen counter of the house that we were living in. It was one of the most liberating couple of years I think I've ever had. Now I've got stuff that I really like, but I've got to tell you, when we opened up the garage door and that stuff was there, I just had this instant desire to just put up a big sign that said garage sale and just walk away. So that stuff can really, really get in the way. Okay, I'm going to pass you out an envelope. This is not another letter, I promise. You just need this practically. So everybody's going to get an envelope, and while I'm passing that out, these out, what I would like for you to do is to take all of the, or to take a piece of paper and tear it up into strips, like little, like the, big enough that you can write on, but somewhere between 6 and 10 strips of paper.
Can you get more paper, please?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, you can. Paper is nice. Yes, we need more envelopes on this side.
Yeah.
So just rip them up,
yes.
Like strips like this.
However, perfect.
Yeah. The only thing you can't do is measure them and make them pretty.
All right. How many were signed for?
Somewhere between 6 and 10. You can always rip up more. You didn't get an envelope. And this exercise, this is interesting, this exercise can be a little bit challenging. I should have just a little bit more. It's important that you remember that this is an exercise today, okay? What I would like you to write on each of these pieces of paper, as many as sounds right to you, okay, as many as come up for you, I would like you to write one thing on each piece of paper that are things, and again, not things, internal, external, that whole list that I read, and I'll read it again. So it could be toxic relationships, unhealthy habits, old beliefs, commitments. It could even be people, okay? Because there's people sometimes in our lives that maybe they're not helpful in our lives, okay? 10 things, 6, 10, however many come up with you, one on each piece of paper, that you might consider taking out of your life suitcase. Things you might, exercise that you might consider taking out of your life suitcase. And think internal, are there internal tapes, things that you say about yourself, self-talk. I'm going to read this list over again. Overcommitment, toxic relationships, roles, responsibilities, resentment, unforgiveness, perfectionism, nice girl, nice guy syndrome, self-doubt, harmful habits, toxic relationships, money fears,
mm-hmm.
you have, this is now your life suitcase. And I want you to put, I want you to kind of pull those pieces of paper apart so they're not all stuck together. Stick them in here, kind of mix them up. Shake them out, mix them up, so they're all the 10 pieces or 6 pieces of whatever paper in there. Okay, again, I'm going to say this again. This is an exercise. You get one chance. I want you to, without looking, I want you to reach in there and pull out one. And you don't get to pull out another one. Pull out one. And look at it. That's, well, if you get a blank one, then you should probably pick another one. Okay, so you shut your suitcase so you don't get to take out another one. All right, so as you look at that one thing and read it, usually you kind of get one that you need to think about. What I would like for you to do is to write a description. First of all, look at it and consider it. If you were to take this one thing out of your suitcase, how would life be different? And I'm not asking for that out loud. I'm not asking to know what that is. If somebody wants to share that, they can. But if you were to take that one thing out of your life suitcase, can you give us a word of how your life would be different if that weren't in it?
Simpler.
Simpler. Okay.
Not simpler.
Anybody else? How would life be different if that weren't?
Living full out.
Living
3 months.
Okay, living full out. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Alright.
More peaceful.
Okay, more peaceful. Would you have more space for, and I don't know what the answer to this is, might you have more space for that one thing that you checked that you would need more of in your life? Sometimes those two are a little bit connected. What would you have more space for in your life? And so here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to write a description, and nobody's going to read this but you, Write a description of your life without that one thing in it. And sometimes we can't just take, you know, some of you might have pulled some pretty big stuff out of there. We can't just take it out all in one fell swoop. We have to have some steps. So if, as you write that description, if you'd like to write a little bit about how you might begin to take that out of your life, do that as well. Let me know if we need more paper. And if you're done writing, before a couple more people are finishing up, just continue to think about what life would be like without that, and maybe who can help you with that? What kind of support might you need? Who would be somebody you could talk to about that? Comments. What anybody want to say? Gosh, what something you discovered as you were doing that? I know you're looking at personal stuff, so I don't want anybody to share anything they don't want. But does anybody have any comment or insight or thought about that?
Anything I've written on my lists are perfectly within my capability to have them happen. But why they don't is because other people need this, or other people want this, or this happens. And so I think it's something to work on.
Yeah. Does anybody have any thoughts about that? You know, other people's expectations? What do you do with that? You know, because we all, I think, recognize that, you know, part of the richness of life is serving other people and helping other people, but when does that become too much? When are we doing it at our own peril?
I think one thing about those expectations is to make sure that they're unambiguous, that they aren't assumed, mm-hmm. but to mm-hmm. maybe have the conversation mm-hmm. so that they're explicit.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. I'm not generally a people pleaser, like I don't do too much for others usually. That's one of my difficulties, but I've asked myself many times, and I've tried to help my people that I'm helping with it too, is just, what is it that God would have me be doing? And it sometimes isn't what, if I ask the question mm-hmm. with not knowing the answer, then it's possible that what I am doing, so maybe I'm helping too many people, because mm-hmm. That can happen. If that isn't what God would rather have me be doing, then I'm off track. Mm-hmm. So I don't think of it as, oh, well, then I'll just stop helping these people. God has it mm-hmm. under control. And so I'm the one that's getting off on the wrong mm-hmm. track. And God needs me to take care of myself and to do, I've tried to help people see that if you don't take care of yourself, which God is expecting you to do a lot of that job. Mm-hmm. And if I'm minimizing my own personal things that would not just make me happy, but healthy, which their two are very intimately interwoven,
yeah.
then I'm off track. So mm-hmm. it's not about, people will ask me for stuff, but it's not necessarily what I need to be doing.
Right.
It's difficult to sort that out, but at least the possibility does exist that I don't know what God wants of me, and maybe it isn't doing this, and this,
mm-hmm.
but it's, I'm, you know, should take a look.
Yeah, so absolutely. I mean, there's some prayer involved and some having the conversation, because a lot of times we do assume and we really haven't clarified. I have this thing that I've just noticed in myself, that when somebody asks me to do something or I take something on, I get this feeling right here, literally in my throat. And when I feel that, that has become just my signal to go, I need to take a minute before I answer that. Because if I say yes right now when I'm meaning to say no, in the big picture, I'm not doing that person a service or myself.
I sometimes think, for myself, I hide behind what I think others' expectations are, because, oh, well, they need to do that, or that. And maybe that's true or not even true, but if I can say it's true, then I don't have to grow
mm-hmm.
or change or take
mm-hmm.
the risks,
mm-hmm.
because, oh, well, they need that.
Yeah, yeah. So really just good stuff to contemplate and think about. The envelope that you have there would be something you might think about taking those home, and kind of like, what is your name?
Doug.
Yeah, Doug. And then like Doug said, stick it in your drawer. You know, you picked out one that maybe you're going to work on, and the truth is you might walk out of here and say, you know what, I pulled a doozy out of there. I don't know if I can start with this one. And so I might start with another one. But, you know, this is something that you could work with, and it's an exercise that you could do in the future. This is a great exercise. Something that I think is really powerful for myself and other people is, whatever that thing is, we have a labyrinth here. And it might be worth taking that thing into the labyrinth with you, and you know, you get to the center and there's a place for pause and for consideration and for a little bit of meditation, and take that in with you and see if you can leave it in the middle and walk back out without it. Now the thing with this stuff is, if we really need it back, we know where to find it. A couple of other things for practicing and cultivating contentment. I think gratitude is huge,
mm-hmm.
and the practice of beginning your day with thank you and ending your day with thank you. Yoga and meditation are very much help us practice that art of being. I mentioned this yesterday. I think that the book Sabbath by Muller is one of the greatest books to help us consider this. It has been a life-changing book. And the other, pardon? Muller, M-U-E-L-L-E-R. And it's either Dwayne or Wayne. I think it's Dwayne Muller.
Wayne
Muller, thank you. Sabbath. And what's wonderful about this book is the chapters are relatively short, and then at the end he really gives you some practice things to be able to do. And then lastly, we have this thing that we put in our house when one of my girls in particular, but in high school, when at least some of our girls were struggling a little bit with God and church and all of that, I thought, okay, I want to give them something that isn't intimidating. So we have a God jar in our house, and it's this beautiful jar, and it always has pencil and paper by it. And anytime you have something that is too big for you, or the kids do, or whatever, you just write it on a slip of paper, and it goes in the God jar, and we remember to pray for it, and My kids still, 24 and 28, they'll call and they'll go, Mom, I've got something for the God jar. And at the end of the year, we empty it out. But a God jar is kind of a symbolic place to go, this is pretty big for me, I'm going to put this in there.
We call that the God can.
The God can.
We call it the God box.
The God box, yeah, absolutely. Well, bless you all. Thank you so much for coming. I appreciate it very much. And let's all go have a nice dinner.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.